This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
We will head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Training camp coverage is sponsored by WOW Internet TV and, WOW Superfast Internet, Kaplan's Furniture, where quality and value cost less, and Justice & Associates Allstate Agency, Cleveland's fan destination for insurance. And let's talk some Browns. We head out to the hotline right now. Welcome in Scott Petrak with the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram. Scott, how are you this morning?
Yeah, I'm good, Chico. How are you?
Doing well. I think it's good news, obviously, that we're seeing, you know, veterans reporting, and but then it's almost like I feel like I'm watching a I tell people this oftentimes when I watch a soccer game. Menigan knows this, that like I turn on a soccer game and I see like a bunch of players and they're passing the ball around, and then I see this goal that seems like it could be 30 miles away. And I feel like that's where we're at as far as football. Like, okay, these guys are getting together, and there's tests, and okay, let's get excited. But, oh, the first full padded practice isn't going to be until August 17th. But I guess that's just where we are right now as far as COVID-19 and the National Football League.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. It's almost hard for me to call it the start of training camp because there's no fans. Media's not out there yet. The players aren't even on the field together. The Browns are splitting their 80-man roster into two groups just to keep fewer people inside the building. They're still doing virtual meetings all week. So it's more a kind of continuation of the off-season program. You know, it's only strength and conditioning and walkthroughs. So it is. We're kind of still in a holding pattern, but there are signs of football, at least, right? We've seen pictures and videos of at least the rookies and quarterbacks on the field, and then the veterans get to join them today for strength and conditioning and then another walkthrough.
I mean, Scott, I would imagine that for a lot of the guys just reporting and you know, having their tests done and all that stuff before, as you say, we actually get into any sort of football activities, for a lot of these guys, they're seeing the facility for the first time in a while. It's just getting acclimated to – you know, what the facility looks like after, you know, the COVID-19 recommendations and whatnot.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. I mean, you look at, you know, especially the rookies, I mean, a guy like Jedrick Wills or even Grant Delpit, they've never been in the facility. There were no pre-draft visits like you normally see. Obviously, the draft was held completely virtually, and so was the off-season program. So this is their kind of introduction to the NFL in person. Number one, and then even for veterans, right, or free agents like Jack Conklin and Austin Hooper, it's different for them being in Berea. You know, they've been in other facilities, but it's the first time for everybody being in the facility during COVID-19, right? And that's an issue. And, you know, I saw one of the McCourty brothers talking about how the NFL looks like it wants to move the opt-out date up. And his contention was, we haven't even been in the building yet, and you're asking us to make a decision on the rest of the season. And it could be startling for some guys to get back in the building, look around, see all the changes. And, you know, most of them, or all the changes, are done to promote safety. But it could be, you know, a little shocking to see everybody in masks, and you're walking one way here and one way there. The locker room is different. And the sense of reality might cause or might lead some more players to opt out, and the players are saying, hey, we need some time to make this decision And it looks like the NFL wants those decisions made as quickly as possible, so fewer guys opt out and they get a better sense of what the roster will look like.
Scott, are you in any way surprised at how many and some of the significant names that have already opted out even before, you know, a lot of teams have reported yet?
Not really. You know, the number is probably higher than I thought it would be. But, you know, it's such an individual decision, and nobody knows what each player's specific situation is at home, right? Is your mom live with you and she's older, or she's recovering from a disease, you know, or she's a, you know, recovering cancer patient, all those things. Is your wife pregnant? Do you have, you know, little kids at home? There's so many different things that we just don't know about these players. And, you know, I was on a text chain with some buddies, and, you know, Drew Forbes got brought up, right? He's the biggest name Browns player to opt out. There's only been two, and he was going to compete for that starting right guard job. And my point was, there's no way a second-year player who's not making any money, who's got a chance to win a starting job, is going to opt out for not a good reason, right? There's something that compels him, whether it's he's had his own health issues, whether someone in his family does, whatever it is, the players aren't just going to walk away for no reason. And I think it's important that fans remember that, and because the players want to play, right? And they want to make their money. And the stipend that they're going to get is not huge, and it comes off their future salaries. It's not, you know, like a free salary. You know, it's not the free 150 grand or 350 grand. It's just a stipend until a future contract. I think it's a hard decision, and I think if the player makes it, it's for a real good reason.
Yeah, I think we need to be more cognizant. I said this at the beginning of the show that, you know, when you hear of guys opting out, you know, we're just thinking about, you know, on the field, oh, they're afraid they're going to get it on the field. Well, as you brought up, I mean, these are families, and these guys have families, and a lot of times we just look at these guys as athletes and warriors and robots almost to some degree, and they go out and entertain us. But, you know, there is that home life. And right now, you know, some of those guys are saying, hey, it's just not worth me putting my family at risk. And that's something that we're all dealing with right now. And football players or any athlete is certainly not exempt from that. We're talking to Scott Petrak with the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram. Joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We'll get to Jarvis Landry here in a second. David Njoku says, I'm all in. I'm all in. So was this, did he take a long walk downtown and just had a, you know, kind of an awakening? Or was this Drew Rosenhaus going, you know what, David, there's really no interest whatsoever. Your best bet might just be go out there and work your tail off and hopefully something comes this year.
Probably, well, I don't know if the long walk had anything to do with it. I think it's a combination of, hey, there's not a whole lot of interest for you, and two, the Browns being consistent in telling David in person and telling the media multiple times that they believe in him, that they think he can have a significant role on this team in Kevin Stefanski's tight end heavy offense, and they're not in any hurry to trade him. So I think if David gets that message from Andrew Berry, combined with, hey, nobody's really coming after you, and you don't have any leverage because you're not making any money, you have 2 years left on your deal, you can't hold out anymore because of the CBA, he had no choice. So at least, and obviously we're still early and he hasn't even taken the field yet, at least it doesn't look like he's going to be moping and having a bad attitude, which would either cause him to be the Browns give him away for nothing or cut him or fine him, whatever that worst-case scenario could play out. I think Njoku finally realized it's in his best interest to suck it up, commit to the team, and then try to increase his value, right? Whether that's as a free agent, whether that's as a trade at some point down the line. His career is not going to go anywhere if he sulks, doesn't play, and has another lost season like 2019. So he's better off coming in, being that number two behind Austin Hooper, trying to put up some good numbers and see if he can kind of re-jumpstart what to this point has been a disappointing 3 years in the league.
Scott, Jarvis Landry on the active PUP list. Is that was that just kind of, you know, part of the schedule, part of the routine? We knew that that was coming in terms of the rehab from hip surgery, or was that a surprise to some?
I don't think it's a surprise, Chico, especially with practice. You know, the Browns aren't going to have a full practice till August 14th. There's no reason to accelerate that. And it would not be a surprise to me if Jarvis is off that list by then. You know, the team says he hasn't had any setbacks. He's still on schedule. Last time we talked to Jarvis in May, he said, hey, it might be July, it might be August, it might be September. But right now the plan is August for a return to practice. So, you know, that gives him 2 weeks once practice starts to hit the field. He gets another 2 weeks in September to get ready for week one. All the Instagram workouts I've seen that Jarvis posts look good to me. Obviously, that's not the same as, you know, running routes in live competition and, you know, getting hit in practice, which they're not going to be a ton of anyway. But I think this is just the next step. There's no need to rush ever, and there's no need to rush particularly in this delayed training camp. So I think it's fine, and I would fully expect Jarvis to be there week one. And the guy hasn't missed a game in 6 years, and that's extremely important to him not to miss any games.
A few more minutes with Scott Petrak from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram joins us here on Baskin and Phelps. Chico in for the guys. So one of the guys that you mentioned in your Brown Zone notes recently was Jedrick Wills, and I was just talking about him last week that, you know, we're talking about Baker getting the offense and everybody getting on the same page, and it's going to be a challenge for everybody involved. But Jedrick Wills is the one guy, Scott, that I say, man, you know, it would be tough anyway just making that transition college to pro and right tackle to left tackle. But now to have to do all of this virtually, and his first start is going to be essentially, we believe, the Baltimore game. They say they still believe that he's that guy. How difficult is this going to be in your mind for him? And not just for him, but this offensive line has to work as a unit. And if one guy is struggling to pick something up, well, that's going to affect the other four guys on the offensive line as well, right?
There's no doubt about that. You know, we would have kept a close eye on Jedrick Wills regardless, because he's making the switch from right tackle to left tackle, right? He's never played left tackle. He played right tackle in high school, right tackle in college. So that would have been one of the key things we'd watch in a normal training camp. Now you add the fact that he hasn't been in person with line coach Bill Callahan, has never lined up next to Joel Bitonio and worked on a double team block or worked on a stunt, you know, from the defensive line and how you're going to pass that off, and won't in pads until August 17th. So that's a really condensed time frame. And it does affect the entire offensive line. But if you talk specifically about Jedrick, you know, he's the type of player that when you get to the preseason, he would have played more snaps, right? Bitonio and Treader and Conklin, they probably play limited snaps and get out of there. I would think Wills would have been out there more snaps because you want the repetitions. You want the repetitions at left tackle at quote-unquote game speed that you get in the preseason, and that's not going to be there. So it's going to be a jump. It's going to be a big jump when he gets to week one in Baltimore. Now, the only good thing I can say, well, first of all, I mean, he's a good player, and the Browns believe that he's capable of making that switch. And they're not the only ones. You know, you talk to his coaches in high school and college, and they feel like he's got everything necessary to make that jump, the physicality, the toughness, the athleticism, the intelligence. It's just asking a lot to make that transition in a, you know, such a short time period. But the other positive is he gets to go up against Myles Garrett in practice. And it's not the same as a game, but those are as good a practice reps as you're going to get in the league. And hopefully that can help bridge the gap. But I think you're going to have to look at it realistically and say the Jedrick Wills you get week one probably isn't going to be the same guy you get week 6, 7, 8. And you'd like to think that he would grow into that job. And there's going to be a learning curve and maybe need to get it, give him more help early in the season from a running back or tight end chipping, just because it's asking a lot, and the Browns don't really have another backup plan. It's not like, oh, they could shift Conklin to left tackle. I don't like that idea. I don't like the idea of Chris Hubbard or Kendall Lamb kind of giving, you know, starting at left tackle and letting Wills kind of build up to it. I think he's the only choice, but it's going to be difficult for him. There's no doubt.
Follow him on Twitter if you are not already, at Scott Petrak. He's with the Elyria Chronicle Telegram. Scott, always good stuff. Appreciate the time, and I know the guys will do it again next week. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Chico.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.